Hello and welcome to Inside View, a weekly public service show on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney, joined today by my broadcast partner Joel Riley and our special guests, Kate St. James and Holly Linton with Behavioral Healthcare Partners of Central Ohio.
Kind of remind people the mission of what BHP is all about, because I think sometimes folks forget about you because it's one of them quiet, just go about your business, kind of do your thing.
Yeah, we've said for a while now that we want to get away from being the best kept secret. We want people to seek us out when they're in need of our services. And honestly, you know, we're considered community behavioral health. And when I say behavioral health, I mean, that really is just an umbrella term for mental health and addiction treatment. We've been doing this work for nearly 70 years. And I think that's what shocks people the most is how long we've been around. And because we're community behavioral health, we have to be all things to all people. Whatever the needs are in the community, we have to rise to meet that. But we also have to be aware of what might be coming in the future and be prepared for that. You know, a lot of people talk about all of the development that's happening in Licking County. We're part of the infrastructure, and we need to plan for that. And certainly over the past couple of years, we've been doing some things to really make sure that we have some good pieces and parts in place so that as we see population grow, that we're there to meet those demands. Mm-hmm. And when I say community behavioral health and being all things to all people, it's things like that you would expect. Seeing a counselor, somebody who is helping to coordinate your care if you're somebody who's in the community and needs a little bit more support. We also have psychiatry services, so medication prescribing for mental illness, for addiction. And we do outpatient services, and then we also have residential programs. So two programs specifically for addiction. One is a female program, the other is a male. And then we have two group homes for individuals who may have a disturbance to their mental illness that makes it really difficult for them to live independently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, we've been doing this for 70 years. We serve both Licking and Knox counties. We have 9 facilities. We have close to 150 staff. So we're a lot bigger also than I think people realize.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about that, are you seeing, I know mental health illness now, and we'll get to the stigma involved with that, but when we talk to a lot of folks, they say that's probably the root, then you see folks get into addiction and those kind of things. Or is it the other way for you, for what you're seeing? So what I'm getting is, what are you seeing more of? Are you seeing more help for addiction, or is it more for mental health, or is it about the same?
I'll say over the past couple of years since the pandemic, it's definitely been mental health. But certainly addiction has had a rise as well. Although we just saw recently the state put out some numbers and said that overdose deaths had decreased, which is fantastic. But the pandemic really, I think, brought to light how fragile our mental health can be, because we all have it, right? We're living, breathing beings. We all have mental health. And we're seeing a lot more demand for our services. And, you know, right, workforce being an issue. So we're trying to, again, rise to what the capacity is and what the need has been in the community.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about addiction, is it more drugs? Is it alcohol? Or is it across the board?
It's a bit of everything. We certainly see what we call polysubstance abuse, where people are using multiple things. So it could be alcohol, it could be meth, it could be any of those number of issues. Certainly in this area, we see more methadone treatment being needed because of meth. We're not like a lot of the other areas in Ohio where you're gonna see a lot of opiate issues. Mm-hmm. It runs the whole gamut. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of different things.
Yeah. Talk about your staff a little bit. I mean, you saw, I talk about how many folks you have. I mean, is it just, you know, our clinicians, obviously you mentioned that. I mean, but boy, the staff, and especially to cover that much region, you got to have good, diverse staff in there as well, correct?
We absolutely do. And we have the most amazing staff in the world. I may be biased, but I also think that that's true. So we have everything. We have folks who are residential aides, who work in our residential programs. We have case managers and care coordinators who are out in the community. Certainly we have counselors, we have psychiatrists, we have psychiatric nurse practitioners. What am I missing? I mean,
you have a development director.
The lovely development director, for the record. I think you captured the staff in large. I mean, we have vocational programs, so we have the vocational staff, and I think people don't realize all of the wraparound services that we have. And so just the full breadth of, when you think about employees and across all of our facilities, we have 9 physical facilities, and then of course our mobile unit. Truly, I mean, we have support staff. Goodness, without our support staff, we couldn't do a whole lot of anything.
That's right.
We have a lot of medical staff, a medical support staff, school staff. Mm. So we have.
You're in the schools?
We're in the schools.
How many schools? Don't mean to throw you on the spot, but I mean, is it in both Licking and Knox
counties? It's Licking and Knox counties.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are those programs that you take to the schools?
Generally, we're there to provide support for the staff, but then also the kids. Mm-hmm. So we can do counseling with kids. We can also help with, if it's you've got a kid who's struggling to stay in the classroom, we can help work with the teachers as well as the kids. And then, of course, we're trying to work with the parents mm-hmm. as well after school hours.
Wow, that's impressive. I mean, how did you get involved? No, Holly. So, I mean, we were joking. I thought you'd only been there maybe a year or so. You know, I've been there 7 years, dummy. Don't tell me, shortcut me on that. But how did you get involved?
So I was going to mention that we have a crisis team, which I don't know if we had touched on that yet. But I started out as a direct service provider on our crisis team, and I did that for a couple of years, and really enjoyed it thoroughly. It was a great experience. A lot of people don't realize what the reach is of our crisis program. I mean, we're in the schools, we're within the community, we respond in our hospitals. It's a really neat job because every day it's something different, and it keeps you going in that way. And I transitioned then into our urgent care project, and that was exciting. That is, I would say, to date, my most kind of personally, professionally fulfilling role. And so Kate is just such a visionary. Obviously, she's sitting here, and she is, in fact, my boss. But I'm very blessed to be in a position where, as a nonprofit mental health organization, not everybody is so adept and attuned to what's happening and what is forthcoming. So, she, as well as our leadership team, were kind of looking down the pike, and it's like, hey, we need to create access to care. So we worked on the urgent care projects. And then I transitioned into the mobile unit. And I did that for about a year. And with such change and development within the organization, it just seemed like a development director was a good fit. And I had a lot of interest. I personally have a lot of just kind of skin in the game when it comes to BHP, I guess, if that's an appropriate term. My mother was a client. And when I was younger, I guess I didn't even really realize it. So she had received services. She was on a housing program. We do, in fact, have housing as well. She was on a housing program at one point. She had a representative payee because she was unable, because her mental illness was so severe and persistent, to budget her own funds and manage her daily living. So they were her representative payee. I actually didn't know that until she passed. Mm-hmm. She received case management, psychiatric services. So when I think about now being employed with this organization, it's really kind of full circle. So very long answer to a short question, but I have been, in fact, engaged with BHP in some capacity for most of my life. And now I always tell people, literally, I'm like, I just get paid to talk about something I really love and believe in. So I feel really lucky and blessed, mm-hmm. but that's how I kind of landed in this role a bit more than a year ago.
Yeah. Well, Joel and I say all the time, it's those folks who have a personal experience with where they work that know about it makes it such a great thing. Like, I'm passionate about Big Brothers Big Sisters mm-hmm. because I was a little. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a big. I mean, and I know Joel's involved with a bunch of other things. So I do think, Kate, that makes it easy for somebody like Holly to go out and talk to people, because she can say, hey, look, I know firsthand how this impacts lives.
Absolutely. And it also speaks to just how intergenerational mental health care, how important it is, because the care that her mom got when she was with BHP made an impact on Holly's life that allowed Holly then to grow, to go to school, mm-hmm. to move into life in a real healthy way.
Mm-hmm. the stigma around mental health, Kate, I mean, what do we do? I mean, as you said, we're human beings. All of us have some sort of an issue that we're dealing with, maybe not as bad as other people. But how do we get past this stigma with mental health?
Yeah, I think just having the opportunity to talk about it and, you know, Holly telling her story, it brings to life for people just how normal it is and that it's not a moral failing. And it's not this perception that I think a lot of people have of, you know, that mental illness is, you know, just this debilitating lifelong disease. One in four of every individual is going to experience some sort of compromise to their mental health this year. So there's four of us in this room right now, that could be any one of us. And it could be anything from, you know, going through a divorce, feeling the pressures of financial instability, stress at work, stress at school. It's just a normal experience that we have compromises. I like to say to people, you know, think about, you know, when you get a sprain to your ankle, like we don't just write off your foot. We treat it and you heal and you recover and you move on with your life. And the vast majority for people experiencing mental illness, it's the same thing. It's not a lifelong sentence. We certainly can get better and we can recover. But there are times that you need a little bit more help, and that's when we want folks to reach out to BHP.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's, you need to celebrate those victories, because I think when people have that stigma attitude, it's because we're very results-based in this country. It's like, hey, did they get better? Like you say, your sprained ankle. Hey, we got better and we moved on. And I'd be thinking that you're movement through the community probably improves when you can demonstrate, hey, everybody deals with this, and you know, the lion's share of people move on thanks to good community support.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I'd like to add, and I know that generally speaking as the director of development, this is a conversation point for me in every speaking engagement. I think I specifically have a particular, you know, as I've already shared, I have a very specific story and experience surrounding behavioral health. And as Kate just said, being willing to just share what that experience has been, and that there has been an ability to, you know, I think what I say most frequently is donors want to know, what are your results? What are your outcome? Talk about dollars. Let's hear some facts. And we can provide that. Sure, we can tell you how many people are diverted from an ER or what, you know, that savings is for treatment. But what we don't see is how somebody else, I would be a good example of that, because my mother was able to be stabilized, we were housed, I could continue my education, I was, you know, so there are some things that it's like, it's quite immeasurable. How do you really capture the success of effective behavioral health treatment? You know, so just the ability to stabilize folks really creates opportunity for generations and other family members to have a more positive experience and outcome. And I think that that's really important when we talk about stigma.
Yeah, how tough can that be if you have somebody, and again, like you said, you weren't sure, you know, about behavioral health care partners and how it played, but just that stability you just mentioned, Holly, I don't think folks understand it, because I see it so much with Big Brothers at the lunch program or whatever it is. Stability is huge, is it not? I mean, you talked about your mom. I mean, and again, when you're young, you see things, but you don't understand it. But as you get older, you go, God, if we had just had stable housing or mm-hmm. stable education, I mean, it seems to me that's a big part of this.
I can certainly speak to that very specifically and personally. Absolutely. It's like I was younger and didn't understand, as you just said, what was happening. But then in retrospect, I'm like, wait a minute. We were always moving. We would go without power. There would be times without water. And then it was like there was just all of a sudden this time when we had an apartment and everything improved. And life got better. At minimum, I had the basic needs. But, you know, I'm a parent now, and now I understand the importance of routine and how important it is that my kids have some predictability in their life. You know, I just, it's really instrumental, this just basic needs being met and the stability of that. And I think that we, in worst case scenario, that's what we're doing is helping to provide that. But by and large, a lot of it, as Kate has said, is us just really stepping in a time where somebody's experiencing something. It's just a presenting problem, kind of with our urgent mm-hmm. cares and how we manage things. So we're really just stepping in the moment and helping mitigate whatever that crisis or experience is. But it's not always from the ground up, you know, but there's certainly instances where it is.
You've been listening to Inside View on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Downey. I want to thank my broadcast partner, Joel Riley, and our special guests today, Kate St. James and Holly Lynn with Behavioral Healthcare Partners of Central Ohio. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great day.